Praise God. Anyway, thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I want to talk with you briefly this morning. How many of you believe that? Briefly, pardon. Yeah, I got one. I got two people that believe about Spirit-led giving. Okay, Spirit-led giving. Spirit-led giving. We heard a wonderful testimony recently over at the camp meeting in Tampa. We were there Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And my, indescribable and genuine move of the Spirit of God is flowing through the river and touching, my goodness, the world for the Lord. It's powerful. And we heard a pastor got up and he shared a testimony about how this this man over in Holland, He was a tither, he was a giver, he was someone who loved the Lord Jesus, and though he had been faithful with his tithes and faithful with his offerings and so forth, most of his experience, it seemed, had to do inside the four walls of the church. He was in the supermarket and he was buying a chicken, and he was getting ready to check out in the supermarket line with this chicken, and the Holy Spirit tells him, buy another chicken. And he's thinking, ah, this is, you know, silly. And the Holy Spirit told him again, buy another chicken. And he had never done anything like this before. He thought, ah, that can't be the Lord. That's silly. I don't want to get silly. And the Holy Spirit said, buy another chicken. And so, you know, the chicken, I don't know, he said it was like $5 or $6. It wasn't the amount of money. It was just that it sounded so silly, he didn't think he could be God. But he felt so impressed of the Lord that he went and he got a second chicken. So he buys a second chicken. You know, he buys a second chicken. The checkout person doesn't even know that's the Lord telling him to buy a second chicken. And he's thinking, what am I supposed to do with this chicken now? Okay, Lord, if this is you, what am I supposed to do with this chicken? And he checks out the chicken, and he's walking out of this grocery store, and the same impression of the Lord just kind of highlighted a couple that was sitting at a picnic table, and the Lord spoke to this man's heart and said, go give that couple the chicken. And he's like, gosh, you know, I don't know these people. What am I? They're going to think I'm off the wall. I'm going to walk up to them and say, God told me to give you this chicken, you know. You're going to think I'm some kind of fruitcake. And yet the presence of God was so strong that is as awkward and silly as he felt, he went up and he walked up to these people and said, listen, I don't usually do things like this, and I don't really understand. You know, you might think I'm crazy, but I really feel like the Lord is telling me to give you this chicken. And they just break down and start crying. And he didn't know that the couple that was sitting on the picnic bench was in the ministry. And they had been so discouraged from the lack of breakthrough and lack of finances that just seconds before the man walked up and gave them the chicken, the husband was saying he was couldn't do it anymore. He was going to leave the ministry. He could not do it another day. And the wife had just said to him, honey, the Lord is with us, and he can rain down quail from heaven if he needs to. And the man, and they're in the ministry still today. Because what's that? And they're prospering. They're blessed. But you see how your moment of breakthrough can come at the very same time of your moment of greatest discouragement, where the situation does not look like God is within 100 miles, and you feel hopeless and helpless and abandoned, and oh God, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. You could be standing at the very point of your breakthrough. And to be led by the Spirit of God, to be governed by the Word of God and led by the Spirit of God, you don't know. You don't know. We don't know the half of it, right, John? We don't know the half of it as to when we're led by the Spirit and we give to what God tells us to give and we obey the Lord, we just see the outward. We don't know. We walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. And if we walk by faith, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the Bible says. If we walk by faith, if we're led by the Spirit of God, it's His promise that He's going to tell us to do things that don't seem possible. They don't seem, sometimes they don't even seem reasonable. We can't rationalize in our intellectual brain all the reasons why. And that's where it comes by faith. We're led by faith. Now, in this same meeting we were in, it's the River of Tampa Bay, and they just got back. Our church was a part of it. As a matter of fact, at some time, we're going to have a get-together or at some time give you, we've got a DVD of some of the meetings that took place in Soweto, South Africa. And I don't know how many of you remember some months ago when I shared with you how our local church and my wife and I personally, in a relatively small way for them, a pretty big way for us, were a part of that crusade in South Africa. And they were believing God for 1 million souls. And they went through this, I don't know how many of you know Reinhard Bonnke, but Brother Rodney was hooked up with Reinhard Bonnke, and he just felt impressed of the Lord that it was time to go ahead and do this mass crusade in Soweto, South Africa. And they were believing God for 1 million souls. So they go over there, and we've known Brother Rodney since 1993, and you very, very, very ever rarely hear him speak negatively about anything. I mean, everything's a positive, a blessing. He sees God moving and rejoices. He said all hell broke loose when they went over to South Africa. He said all hell broke loose. He said it was very difficult. He said in the Tuesday morning meeting that we were in, Brother Rodney was sharing about their experience. They had a 10-night crusade over in Soweto, South Africa, and he said it was so difficult. He said all hell broke loose. He said one of the things we learned was that our team is not ready to do mass crusades. I mean, I was pretty floored when I heard him say that. Now, he didn't go into great detail, but it was very obvious by many, many things he said that they went through hell and they got beat up. Even on the DVD, my wife and I were looking, and you could see Pastor Adonica. She looks exhausted, man. The team looks wiped out. She's on the platform, you know, yawning like a lion. I mean, right? They look exhausted. It's raining. All the umbrellas are out there. It's raining, you know, and they only brought in 177,600 souls. So it really was a big flop, you know. Yeah. And they only had like 20,000 people the first night, and the crowd only grew to 117,000 the last night. So it was a real big disappointment to this minute. It was. And they shared, you know, how, what we've learned, we're not ready for this, we can't do this, we believe for so much more, and it was, you know, a real big flop. We're looking at each other like, gosh, that's a flop, you know. That's some of that flop on over here. And in the Tuesday night meeting, there's a message here, if you can, you know, catch it here. In the Tuesday night meeting, Brother Rodney gets up and he says, today, this morning, in this morning's meeting, I was sharing how our team wasn't ready to do mass crusades. He said, and the Lord convicted me. He said, the Lord convicted me, and we went ahead and we set a date to go into Durban, South Africa in March. So the Lord convicted me, and we said that we are ready. I did. And his team all went like somebody just punched him in the stomach. You know, you'd think they went dancing and leaping and praising God. Now, these are the people, you know, you can read between the lines. These are the people that are sucking it up and doing all the administrative stuff. They're dealing with like 7 miles of sound equipment, and the whole production, the whole outreach is like huge. And so the team was all just looking at him like, you know, bullfrogs in a Texas hailstorm or something like that. You know, oh my gosh, we're gonna. But he just shared, yeah, the Lord convicted me, and we need to go ahead with it. We need to just smack the thing in the head and just go ahead with it. So March, we're going to Durban, South Africa, and we're gonna believe God for souls, you know. And so on the way home, my wife and I. It's a long story. I'll make it short. How many of you believe I'm going to share with you briefly this morning? I got two faithful. Look at that. Hallelujah, Kirk. Hey, it's good to have you here, man. I need you. You see? On the way home, my wife and I went from Tampa through Ocala to visit a friend who just recently moved from St. Petersburg into an assisted care living facility in Ocala. She's 80 years old. Her name is Dorothy Archer. She's a precious saint of God. And she writes us these beautiful letters every month and encourages us. And she's blessed by the CDs and so forth. She's just become a friend. We met her at Pump about two, three years ago. Anyway, we went by and met her, and we set up an outreach in March at Quiet Oaks Retirement home. So, you know, while Rodney's team is rocking South Africa in Durban, we've got good news. Quiet Oaks is coming, okay? And you can be a part of it. Hallelujah. 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 And you can be, and there's still room to get on board. I know we're going to probably have to carpool and do, you know, like maybe even rent a bus, get the camper, just bring the whole team out for Good News Quiet Oaks, all right? That's coming March, when is it, March 26th? Saturday. Hallelujah. We'll leave here about 11 o'clock or so. Praise God. While we were there, I got to meet Fred Schultz. He's 98 years old. He was a bus driver up in Buffalo, New York, and he doesn't look a day over 75. Looks like a spring chicken. And I hope he's going to be coming out. Maybe the whole thing for Fred. Anyway, praise God. To be led of the Lord. You see, God is in both. This is the thing I'm trying to impress. God is in both. The Holy Ghost is going to move in Durban, South Africa. And I believe, as funny as it may sound, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit that is leading us to bring a team to Quiet Oaks. It may be for one. It may be for one soul. The Bible says when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoice. All the angels in heaven rejoice. Remember Philip and the eunuch? The Holy Ghost came on Philip and he was led to go speak to one eunuch. How many of you know eunuchs need a lot of help? They need a lot of prayer, man. You know? Think about it. Come on. So anyway, we don't know. There might be a eunuch. There might be a eunuch. There might be a eunuch there. We don't know. We don't know. Hallelujah. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit of God. Glory to God. Somebody just got it. The value of the anointing. This is a little nugget. There's no extra charge for this. It's just a little added nugget. This is from Brother Rodney. It says, the value of the anointing. I want you to picture what took place the day the woman anointed Jesus. You can imagine the disciples' indignation because of what she had done. She had broken a very precious alabaster box of ointment and poured it over Jesus' head. That it was very costly was probably known by all. It is as if you took a perfume that costs $1,000 an ounce and poured it over somebody's head. A 5-ounce bottle would be worth $5,000. Wouldn't you think that was a waste? But the Bible says that if you give a prophet a glass of water in the name of the prophet, you get a prophet's reward. If you do anything to any of God's servants in the name or receive that individual as the one God has sent, then you will get the reward from that ministry. You can't buy the anointing, but your giving can help spread it to other cities and even other nations. By giving an offering to a ministry, you are anointing that ministry with something precious to you. If you use your money to do God's work, you equip that ministry to do what they have been called to do. When you give, you are putting a portion of yourself into that ministry, because that money represents your blood, your sweat, your tears, your abilities, your time, your effort, your energy, and your life. Spirit-led giving will cause a great blessing to be in your life. I want to share one other scripture that may sound at first like it's a little bit off-center, but let me explain. It's from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7. And the Lord speaks through the prophet Ezekiel, and he says in verse 19, "They will throw away their money, tossing it out like worthless trash. It won't buy their deliverance in that day of the Lord's anger. It will neither satisfy nor feed them, for their love of money made them stumble into sin. They were proud of the gold jewelry and used it to make vile and detestable idols. That is why I will make all their wealth disgusting to them. I will give it as plunder to foreigners from the most wicked of nations, and they will defile it. I will hide my eyes as these robbers invade treasured land and corrupt it." Not exactly something to send you skipping and yelling hallelujahs down the block. But there's good news. The good news is we still have time. We still have time to sow into the gospel and to go with the gospel while we still have time. You know, you can talk to people that as they near their final days on the planet, and you can see that earthly possessions become as worthless as just what the prophet was saying. In the face of eternity, the biggest houses, the most expensive cars, the biggest IRAs and KIOs and savings accounts mean absolutely nothing. The only thing that matters is what we do in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the miracle that you continue to unfold before our very eyes, even as we gather together each and every time. Lord, I believe that we as a local body are just like that bumblebee, Lord, that are not supposed to fly. But we keep flying, Lord, by your Spirit, and you empower your word to go forth through your faithful servants, O God. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak to the hearts of your people, that they would be cheerful givers and not give out of any kind of manipulation or compulsion. Lord, and I pray even as they sow whatever it is that you tell them to sow, that you will take that and press it down and shake it together and cause it to come running back over their life with your love and your joy and your peace and your passion and your anointing and your health and your provision and your favor. Thank you for it, Father, by faith. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain far beneath my feet. How you love's a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Oh, hallelujah. Makes me sing, hallelujah. Your love is amazing.